Hello and welcome to episode 10 of Conversation Street, the only podcast dedicated to the British soap institution Coronation Street. I'm Michael.
And I'm Gemma.
And this week we'll be discussing the episodes broadcast in the UK between the 14th and the 19th of October 2012. So this is episode 10 of our podcast. We've reached double figures already.
10 of them.
Episode X, I like to call it.
Yep.
It's pretty good that we've made it so far into podcasting. It seems like ages since we've been doing it now, but...
Yeah, feels like we've been doing it forever.
Yeah, but I've really enjoyed it.
It certainly gives a whole new dimension to watching Coronation Street.
Yeah, all the note-taking.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder whether it'll be easier for us to remember what's happened, because I barely remember what happened like 6 months ago in Coronation Street sometimes, and I wonder whether doing this will help us remember more. We were listening to the very beginning of episode one just this past week. I think we've got a bit better. It's still early days.
I hope so. I don't know. People must like listening to us, or they wouldn't download it.
I guess so. Yeah.
Well, I hope you're enjoying yourselves as much as we're enjoying recording them.
Yeah. So anyway, it's been a good week for the podcast, because we've had quite a lot of feedback this week, which is nice. Yeah. compared to normally. I've also got a new logo for the podcast, which I'm planning to upload with this one. We've been using the one with the flying ducks, like Hilda Ogden used to have on her wall, for the first 9 episodes, with the silhouettes of the ducks, and I thought I'd have a go at changing it a little bit so that the ducks would be listening to an iPod like you have on the iPod adverts.
The iconic adverts of the silhouettes dancing about with the headphones in.
Exactly. And Hilda often had one of her ducks kind of tilted forward, so I thought it'd be quite funny to have the duck listening to the iPod tilted forward a bit, as if being weighed down.
So that's a little insight there to the creative process that goes on behind the creation of the various things that you enjoy and you probably don't even notice when you're downloading.
Yeah. Anyway.
Because I wouldn't notice. It just goes to show, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not very observant. It's a good job I take notes.
We better get on with talking about the episodes. So, here we go with some street talk. Okay, so a couple of main storylines this week. Ryan and Tracy's love life and possible baby has been the main one, I think. We've also had Audrey back on the scene and without Lewis.
Where's Lewis gone?
We'll find out in tonight's episode. Then we've had Pub of the Year carrying on. I thought that's been quite funny this week with the mystery drinkers and the B&B guest. I thought that Dennis was really funny in tonight's episode.
Yeah, Dennis was quite funny. And then we had Lloyd, Jenna and Mandy.
Yeah.
Chugging along.
They seem to have got to the point that they've been inevitably heading towards since the storyline started, thank goodness. With Lloyd snogging Mandy at the end of tonight's episode.
No, we'll talk about it when we get later. Cafe Wars with Mary and Anna.
Yeah, and they're
still competing with Nick's Bistro.
A Moroccan theme night. And then there's been a little bit of Kendi this week, the Ken and Wendy storyline. Unfortunately, it didn't go much further, or any further than Sunday's episode, but we did get some quite funny scenes at the school autumn fair, where Deirdre and Wendy were trying to kind of outdo each other.
Yeah, so let's get on with talking about what's going on with Ryan and Tracy.
Yeah, so it started off the week with Michelle taunting Ryan about his imminent fatherhood, and he claims that he doesn't understand why Tracy's pregnant, she was on the pill, and she's...
Typical man, leave it to the woman.
Yeah, so she's kind of...
That's not safe to do that.
No.
Just a little... public service announcement, any people listening who don't understand these things, which should be nobody by now, apart from Ryan.
Yeah. Well, Michelle later apologises to him and says she'll support him if he's happy about it, but it seems that he's not actually happy. He doesn't want to be a dad.
Well, nobody has said anything to him to indicate it's going to be a positive experience for him, let's just say.
No, and it is with Tracy as well.
Yes. So they Steve comes back and they drop the bombshell on him, and he goes off and tells Deirdre and Ken what's happened. and they both had very stereotypical reactions.
Yeah, Deirdre's reaction. Oh, Tracy!
And then Ken says, this is deeply unedifying.
I wrote that down as well, but I didn't figure out what it meant. I was going to look it up.
It just means unsettling, doesn't it?
I don't know.
Well, edifying is like, oh, this is great. This makes me feel buoyant and happy.
Yeah, I did write it down because it was the sort of thing that Ken would say.
And he looked like someone stood on his foot again.
Yes. Steve and Tracy were left to talk there at number one, and immediately he tries to write her a cheque for the abortion.
£1,500, and then it goes up to £2,000.
Yeah.
Tracy says, oh, it's murder. I wouldn't do that after what happened to my twins.
Yeah, I like that Steve said, this isn't a baby you're carrying, it's a weapon. And it is, really, because it's the way of trying to blast apart Michelle and Steve's relationship.
She's firing bullets from her uterus.
Yeah.
I don't know where they're going to come out. Michelle's annoyed.
Yeah.
Steve couldn't get... Steve comes back and says, oh, I couldn't get her to see reason.
Yeah.
Ryan goes off and tells Sophie what's going on, and she's like, oh, you'll be a great dad. And then Tracy meets up with Ryan, and she's like, oh, it's an accident. It's not your fault.
Yeah, she's playing the victim.
You go on and live your life without me.
Saying she's going to set him free.
I'll send you photos. Don't worry.
This is obviously a way of getting him to say, no, I will stay with you. I'll go with you wherever you need to go.
She's using reverse psychology there. Yeah. Very smart.
It doesn't take much to pull the wool over Ryan's eyes, to be honest, does it?
No.
Especially when she calls him extra virile.
Yeah. Well, what man wouldn't want to be called that? So she tells him that they offered her money.
And Michelle doesn't like... When Michelle finds out that that's what's happened, she shouts at Steve.
Yeah, she's not happy about it.
Because this
she's
makes Ryan
shocked.
Hate her even more, because Ryan thinks that
Ryan's
Michelle
like,
was in on it.
That's it. I'm going to raise this kid now to show you you're wrong.
Yeah.
And he also says to Michelle, in a stunning lack of self-awareness, that you were pregnant. You were knocked out with me at 15.
Yeah, that's Ryan said that, but...
As we will find out when we do our character profile later on, that is
not
true
exactly
at all.
True, no.
So Michelle's crying because he's very disrespectful to her, and she shouts at Steve later on.
Yeah, tells him that she can't bear to look at his gormless face anymore.
Why is it taking her so long, really? Was she been blinking whenever she's happened to look at him until now?
Well, the next episode, they're arguing, Michelle and Steve, at the beginning, but they don't seem to be on the brink of splitting up like they were at the end of Sunday's episode.
Well, no, because I thought that they had broken up, but they obviously didn't.
No.
She's still mad at him, though, and says that it's all Steve's fault and they're going to end up raising the kids out of spite, basically.
Yeah. In the meantime, Tracy's already left work at the kebab shop.
Well, she comes in, she says, oh, it's all been confirmed. And then Ryan comes following after, and he's sort of in agreement, yes, it's all been confirmed at the doctor's surgery, which is baffling.
Somehow, considering what happens later in the week.
And then Ken wonders where they're going to live, and Ryan says, I know, Glasgow.
Yeah, where else? Well, that was where he went to university when he left a few years ago to go. He went to stay up with Kieran McCarthy up there, and Tracy appears to like the idea of this. Because she knows that it will take Ryan away from Michelle, which will screw Michelle up even more.
Yeah, well, from where they live, it's about 3.5 hours to Glasgow.
Is it?
Yeah. I looked it up, because we live on the completely the opposite end of the country.
And that is like so
far
away.
It would be about five to eight hours, depending on how many speed limits you break on the way.
Yeah, so I guess it's not that far away from where
Michael's parents live in Coventry, and that's 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
So it's quite a drive. You don't really want to go there and back in the same day, which limits you visiting. So obviously Michelle's thinking of all of this.
So she's obviously not impressed, but Steve invites Tracy and Ryan back to live with them so that they can try and keep an eye on them. And also Steve thinks, well, if we try and be nice to Tracy, maybe she'll get bored of Ryan.
Yeah.
Because he's starting to be suspicious that actually Tracy's not interested in him at all, which is quite astute of Steve.
For once, yeah. So in the episode that we watched tonight, Beth was listening in on Steve and Tracy talking.
Yeah, and Tracy was claiming that she really does love Ryan, but Beth obviously knows that Tracy is just making it up to try and wind Michelle up still. Yeah.
And so she comes over and she's like, what are you up to? Why did you get pregnant? Just for a joke.
Taking it a bit far, isn't it?
Yeah, and Tracy says,
I'm not pregnant at all. Yeah,
which baffles me.
Why?
Because she came back from the doctors.
She'd
obviously taken Ryan with her.
Yeah, I don't really understand that.
Did he sit outside the office and she came in? What did she go in to do? She didn't go into the office and sit there and go, just pretend I'm in here talking about pregnancy. When I come out, say congratulations to Ryan. Don't worry what it's about.
Yeah, I was reading on some forums and people were saying that sometimes when you go in to get your pregnancy confirmed by the doctor, they don't even always do the test anymore.
Yeah, but that to me, confirmation is a different... She would have come back and said, well, we've been to the doctors and it's all official.
Mm.
She didn't say that. I'm pretty sure that she said it's been confirmed.
Yeah, I don't know.
And another thing, if she is faking, she missed the perfect opportunity to get a cool $2,000 off of Steve.
I know, because she could have taken that money.
Yeah.
Said she'd had an abortion and she would have been $2,000 in. So I don't understand why.
There is no limit to her imagination when it comes to thinking of schemes to wind Michelle up. This is not the only way to get to Michelle.
Yeah.
There are so many other things she could do. If I was her, I'd be looking at the more hilarious things, like getting him to get a tattoo.
Oh man, if she got him to have a tattoo that said
that
Tracy,
that would be awesome.
That would be really
good.
Because
let's face it, people, kids move out when they're 18. Tattoo is for life.
They should say do that.
So she could have done that.
Yeah.
She's not that smart then, is she? If she's faked this and turned down $2,000.
No, and also she's not that smart because it seems that by the end of the week, Steve has managed to trick her. Because Steve is suspicious, like we said. He doesn't actually believe that Tracy's interested in Ryan. So he says
to somebody that every time they're not being observed, or they don't know they're being observed, she's not really that bothered
about it. He pretends to split up with Michelle.
That's
what I think. You could tell by when Steve, the character, acts, it looks like he's being a really bad actor.
Yeah, he's quite good at that.
It's
quite difficult to do.
Yeah, so he's obviously pretending to split up with Michelle, which Tracy loves, but Tracy can't see that he's pretending.
Tracy was loving it so much. She's like, oh, I've got to sit on the couch a bit closer because I'm pregnant.
But then Michelle also, to me, seemed like she was acting. I wonder whether, is Michelle in on it?
If Michelle's not in on it...
She's not going to be happy with Steve.
Steve is in for, the high jump.
But when I was watching Michelle sort of crying and acting upset, she seemed to be the character overacting as if she was in on it. But if that was the case, then I would have thought they would have had a little sort of knowing glance between Steve and Michelle. So I don't know.
But then at the same time, the show's really tricked us into thinking that Tracy was pregnant.
Yeah.
Because she had all those little, I don't feel so great moments and sort of anxious looks leading up to announcing she was pregnant.
Yeah.
Which she might as well not have bothered with because Ryan didn't pick up on any of the hints at all.
No.
There's no point trying to hint.
Yeah. So that's actually getting quite a fun storyline now. As much as
it's full of intrigue and double crossings.
Yeah. Yeah, Tracy's making it interesting, and I'm glad. And Steve's back now. Steve's been away in Spain for a few weeks, and I think the storyline's really missed him. And with him back, it's got more watchable again.
Yeah.
We've also had the whole to do with Audrey coming back from France without Lewis this week.
Lewis?
Yeah. So Nick had to pick Audrey up, and she was obviously
ruffled.
Yeah. He said that she was sounding choked over the phone.
Yeah, so she couldn't cope with answering questions about her holiday.
No, she didn't want to talk to Rita, that's
turned
right.
up, and she sort of gets herself inside, and it turns out that Lewis has disappeared on the train on the way to Lille.
Yeah.
And people think the obvious, which is that he's done a bunk.
Yeah, and he's conned her again or something.
Audrey thinks he's concussed for some reason.
Yeah.
And wandering about France, confused and possibly pretending to be French, or I don't know what she thinks.
Yeah, so on Monday's episode, everybody's reading about this missing man in the paper.
Yeah, they have
there quite quickly.
Yeah, that was quite funny.
And they're all reading about it and very cynical
about it.
Yeah. Audrey is convinced, however, that Lewis is going to be back.
Yeah.
And she walks into the Rovers and Norris and the others are all gossiping about it. Yeah. I did like the line that Audrey said when she saw that Ken was very quiet there behind the bar, and she thinks that he's got something to say. As she says, Ken, you're acting very quiet. And Ken says, oh, I've got my own problems. And Audrey says, oh, what, really? Is your library book overdue or something?
Yeah.
I thought that was a great one for Ken.
Yeah.
What else has been happening? Oh, well, that's when Penny turns up, isn't it? Out of the blue.
Bad Penny.
Yes.
Yeah, so Nick brings in Penny, and she's seen this thing in the paper, and she's like, that man's conned me.
Yeah, I've got unfinished business with him.
He's called Hugh, and he stole £10,000 and tricked her into giving a deposit for a house.
Yeah, and then one day he went off to buy a baguette and didn't come back.
He came back 5 years ago. So she tells Audrey, she's sort of well shot of him, really. And
yeah.
Audrey makes excuses for him, but Penny's not very convinced.
No.
Nick still thinks that there's a chance that Lewis could be innocent in all this, but everyone else, David and Gail, no, let's just be realistic here. He's obviously gone off.
Yeah, but by tonight's episode, Audrey was starting to think, well, yeah, maybe everyone's right, maybe he has tricked me again. She rips up that photo of him that she's got in her bag, just as Lewis, turns up. Hello, Audrey.
I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry I ran away. So he says, yeah, what happened is what you think. I saw Penny and I ran away.
Yeah, I was quite surprised that his story exactly matched Penny's story as well, which is what got me thinking that maybe he and Penny are in on this together, which is what Gail said at the end of the episode. And I was quite annoyed when Gail said that, because that was going to be my conspiracy theory this podcast.
Well, what happens is he saw Penny, ran away because he didn't want his partner to catch up with him.
Yeah.
She berates him for running off and says that they should be together. And so he says, let's just leave, because I can't cope with my past catching up with me.
Yeah.
So Audrey does the old, I'm just going for a bit. I love you, please take care of each other, and I'll see you later.
And nobody can seem to spot that she's acting strangely until a little while later.
So yeah, Gail's concerned, so they rush to her house. And just as they arrive, it seems like Audrey and
Lewis are about to...
packed up, ready to go.
Yeah.
But the doorbell goes.
Yeah, and it's Penny, and it seems that Audrey's invited her around.
Yeah, so Penny confronts Lewis and says, you ruined my life, you made me feel like an idiot, I loved you and you tricked me and stole my money. Gets her phone out to call the police, and Audrey's like, whoa, no, I'm rich, write you a cheque for £10,000.
Yeah, which obviously everyone else is saying, what are you doing, Audrey?
Don't do that.
Even Lewis was saying, I'd feel dreadfully guilty if you did
please
this.
Don't do that.
Don't do it, Audrey, you don't need to do this for me.
So Penny takes a cheque and says, thanks, but he's still evil.
Yeah,
and walks off.
More fool you, basically, with the money.
Yeah, basically. Well, Audrey's like, no, I want my man and my family. I don't want to run away. I want to keep everyone. I don't care. I'd rather swap the money
And then by the end of the episode, like we said before, Gail thinks that maybe Penny is in on it, and she thinks Lewis have got this money.
Yeah, now Lewis is by proxy got this money from...
Yeah, so do you think that's what's happened?
No.
I totally did until Gail suspected it, and then I thought, well, it can't be that. No, it's got to be something else.
It would have been a really good trick
because ever since Lewis has come back recently, he's been sort of so nice, and he's convinced everyone that he's changed. He's a reformed character.
I'm just a wine expert now.
Yeah, and if he was actually conning Audrey again after all this time that he's been back, that would have been quite a good one. So it's so difficult to know, because he is such a charmer.
It's a bit of a long game to play for 10 grand.
It was, that's what I thought, it was a long game.
For 10 grand, I don't think it's worth it. You can get a job working at Tesco's and earn 10 grand in the same amount of time. And put less hours in, and you'll have to sleep with Audrey.
Yeah. Talking of...
Mind you, you don't get to go on holiday.
Talking of working, kind of on this storyline as well, Kylie working at the bistro?
Yeah, so Nick asks her to help him out.
Why?
And she does... so and impresses him so much that he offers her a full-time job, and
gotta keep it in the family,
because David can't offer her a stylist job, she takes it.
Why would Nick give Kylie a job?
I don't think that Nick would ever hire someone who looks like Kylie.
No, and the way she's acted in the bistro as well, hasn't she been dancing on the tables there? He's just got a very short memory.
Everyone on Coronation Street has short memories, because their lives are so incredibly complicated that they can't keep more than a week's worth of it in their heads.
They need to make notes like we do.
Yeah, that's what they need to keep a diary.
Yeah. So that's basically that storyline. It will be very interesting to see how that progresses. I think Audrey's a great character, and it's she always comes in every so often. She's because she doesn't live on the street. She's not always naturally in the background, but whenever she's in it, I always think she's a great actress, and it's nice to see the Platts back.
But what do you think is going to happen with Lewis then? I'm kind of bored of him now.
I'm not bored of him.
I think he should either turn out to be a criminal or just forget it. Leave. Is he boring?
I don't think he's boring. I think he's quite... He's different. He's not...
Yeah, but he's boring. What does he do? He just walks about and goes, oh, I would recommend the red wine with your steak. Or if you're having fish, want to try this white wine?
I did like some of the camera shots in Audrey's house today when Alf, the portrait of Alf, was kind of looking down over it, giving a smug grin. I think he was thinking, oh, I'm better off out of this.
Yeah, you'll never get better than me, Audrey.
What other storylines have we had this week? Pub of the Year.
Yeah.
I've not really been keen on that up till now, but it was... I've really enjoyed it with these mystery
B&B Gloria guests. Yeah, Gloria was getting the room ready for Lawrence, who is the mystery B&B guest, who's the only guest.
Yeah.
And she's battering him up and on in his shirt and offering different
pretending,
types of jam.
Pretending that she doesn't know that who he really is.
Yeah, and so Stella walks in early, unexpectedly, and goes to chuck him out, basically.
Yeah.
But she's like, no, pretend to be a guest. So she comes in. Did she say her name was Mrs. Johannesburg from Sweden or something?
Oh,
like
I can't
that.
Remember.
So he ends up revealing to Stella that he's the secret judge.
Yeah.
And also lets it slip that there's going to be a mystery drinker on later in the week.
Yeah. I feel sorry for Stella. I think she must despair of her mum at this point.
So Dennis overhears the conversation about the mystery drinker.
Yeah, decides he's going to pretend to be
it. The light bulb goes off over his head.
That was hilarious.
Con men go, contrasting him with Lewis.
Yeah.
It's quite sad, isn't it?
Dennis is a great character, but he's not been in it very much since he's been back. They made a whole thing about bringing Dennis Tanner back after however many years, 50 years nearly, and they haven't done much with him apart from marry him off to Rita, and tonight's episode was my favourite Dennis episode since he's been back. It just shows what a great comic potential the character has.
So he was basically just getting free drink after free drink, hinting heavily that he was scoring them, and Gloria was
getting drunker
just
and
lapping
drunker.
It up and giving him beer and offering him free hot pots, and
all the while the actual mystery drinker comes in, complains that there's no toilet paper, and is told to let it drip dry like nature intended.
And here's a tip for Gloria: if she ever needs to spot a mystery anyone or any unusual character in her pub, it will be the only extra who has lines.
Yeah, if you've never seen him before and they talk, then
it's obviously somebody.
Yeah, someone special.
Yeah.
Eva managed to clock that maybe this other guy is the mystery drinker, and manages to convince him that Gloria's gone a bit doolally in her old age.
She was really good when she was like, what do I do with my poor Nan?
Yeah.
She's gone mad.
Which impresses the judge, because he likes, you've got such a lovely family feel here in the
community.
Rovers. Yeah, and then Rita walks in, finds Dennis draped over Gloria.
Yeah. And she sort of goes, you've got a knocking shop at the back or something. And I thought there was going to be a beer thrown at somebody, but there wasn't.
No, the climax at the end was Dennis just fainting backwards, falling backwards in a drunken stupor.
And
that was
Eva
really
sort
funny.
Of standing behind Gloria and grimacing at the mystery drinker as if to say, the things I've seen, you wouldn't fathom it. You think this is bad?
Do you think they're going to get a pub of the year?
In Coronation Street world, yes, they probably will. But in real life, if you went to a pub, number one, we know, we don't go to pubs very much, but we know that if there's a competition, a pub that looks like the Rovers Return would not win it.
No.
They haven't put any thought at all into what it looks like.
No.
Just a normal pub.
Yeah.
That's strike one. Strike two, having a barmy old woman having arguments with random women who can't come in over fight over their husbands.
Yeah.
That's not going to win any prizes.
No.
I don't see how you can spin it, really. I mean, it's all very nice to feel, isn't it lovely that they're looking after their dear old barmy gran? But you got to question the judgment of somebody who puts that person behind the bar.
All right, let's just have a quick talk about the other stories that not been in it so much. Basically, Lloyd and Mandy have been getting closer during the week.
Yeah, they were trying to meet and trying to get together with Jenna, and she doesn't show up. And,
yeah, then Mandy says, I'm going to go back to Nottingham again.
Going then. So Lloyd doesn't want Mandy to go, and
He ends up meeting with Jenna. He calls her callous, self-centred and unforgiving, which manages to convince her to have a meal with them.
And they all make up.
And they all make up. And we've known that was going to happen for a very long time. So hopefully...
Mandy and Lloyd have a kiss.
Oh, yeah. Hooray. So now maybe they can... Because I like the idea of them as a family. It's just taken them a long time to get there. So hopefully now they'll be able to have a decent storyline and... hopefully integrate more with the rest of the street as well, because it's still very much been Lloyd having his little storyline on his own, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I like to see him as part of the street. We've had the goings on at the cafe, where basically Mary's been organising a Russian night to coincide with Emily's birthday. That all went well. And then there was a bit of bad air between Kirsty and Fizz, which is all we saw of the Kirsty and Tyrone storyline this week. Hopefully that'll be back again soon. And then Mary decides to have a Moroccan night, which seems to go pretty well as well tonight. Not much happened there, but basically by the end of it, Anna was absolutely knackered. She thought, she's saying to Mary, that's the last theme night we're ever going to have, but Mary wants to do more because she likes the success of these ones so much. So I think that's just going to drive more of a wedge between those two. What do you think?
Yeah, it seems like Anna's sick of it now and Mary's just in her own world again, high on caffeine.
Yeah, driving people up the wall, as yeah. Mary does so well. And then finally, we've had Ken and Wendy. There was just a bit of them on Sunday's episode, which was at the Autumn Fair.
The politically correct, non-denominational Autumn Fair that no school ever had.
Never known a school to have an Autumn Fair. Christmas Fair, Summer Fair. But not Autumn Fair, but maybe things are different up north.
Yeah.
Deirdre's obviously still not happy about Ken being a governor there.
So he tells her, come along then, if you don't believe, trust me. So Wendy sees that he's sort of like hanging on to Ken and ha 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 ha.
Yeah.
And then they have a discussion about what sort of pies people like for some reason. And it turns out that... Deirdre claims that Ken loves pie in a tin and Arctic roll.
Yeah, she's trying to... She didn't like the idea that Wendy was obviously very up herself and look at me, I'm so great. And Deirdre was almost revelling in the fact that they were very working class.
Yeah,
and
she was
She bought their Tombola gift as a part of a 3-for-2 from Debs, and they kept a couple for themselves. It was very funny.
Because Wendy was saying, oh my, I don't really like cakes, I like Stilton and figs.
Yeah.
anyone would roll their eyes a little bit.
Getting a bit.
Everybody likes cheese, but you don't pick cheese over cake unless it's cheesecake.
Julie agreed with Deirdre that there seems to be something going on, at least from Wendy, and that she's flirting with Ken. And Deirdre is worried about the unfinished business between the two of them, and that's pretty much where the storyline ended there.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see how it carries on.
We know how it's going to go.
Well, we'll talk about that maybe a bit more in the feedback section. Let's move on to character profile now. Okay, our character profile this week is Ryan Connor. No, don't stop listening now. This will just be a short one. He's been played by Ben Thompson originally and currently played by Sol Harris.
What is that name? That's the weirdest name I've heard. Sol Harris.
I did not know.
Sounds made up.
The character was born on the 14th of January 1992, which was when Michelle was 16.
She was pregnant when she was 15.
Yeah. He first appeared on the 30th of August 2006, and he's been in coming up to 300 episodes so far. When
he was originally in it, he had helmet hair. He had one of these haircuts that... these kids these days have, which is where their hair is kind of like formed into this bizarre helmet that's sort of swept to one side over their face.
Yeah, very different now.
I hate that haircut. Maybe it's the same actor and he just cut his hair.
When Thompson got the part originally, he said, "I can't say too much about Ryan and his storylines, but he's very mischievous. The character is not a bad lad, but he's not a good lad either." And when he was first in it, he was not long after he entered the programme, he was caught vandalising the cabin by Norris, and Michelle made him help out there to try and pay for it. Then in 2007, he discovered that Sonny Dillon, who Michelle was briefly engaged to, was gay, and also seeing Sean.
Yeah, he stole Sonny's car as revenge and went joyriding.
Yeah.
And his Uncle Paul did not like that because he gave him a smack over it because his dad, Dean, had died in a car accident.
Yeah, there seems to be a bit of a thing with the Connor family and car accidents because Paul later died in a car accident after he kidnapped Leanne. And then Liam was obviously in his hit and run as well, so... stay away from cars if you're in that family.
Yeah, exactly. Go by the tram.
His main storyline, and the one that people remember, apart from the people that actually are on the programme, is started in 2007 in December when he was stalked by a stranger. Ryan was stalked by this guy who knew his name. It turned out that it was his real dad.
What?
Yeah, Nick Neeson, because there'd been a baby mix-up at the hospital. And actually, Michelle's not...
Ryan's mum. No, she never gave birth to him.
No,
she gave just got given to him in the hospital.
Yeah, and her actual son was brought up as Alex Neeson. The truth came out with Alex's family when he had a blood test, and it showed that his blood didn't match up with either his mum's or his dad's. So suspicions would be raised there.
Yeah. So in January 2008, Ryan went to go and see Alex, and they had a fight.
Yeah. Apparently.
They basically decided it would all be much easier if they just stayed with the families they had already.
But then Alex later approached Michelle in the Rovers and introduced himself and to everybody there. And also he went to Maria and Liam's wedding and said, "Yeah, I'm actually the real grandson here, or the son of Michelle." And as the month went on, Ryan got more and more jealous. And eventually Alex muscled his way into living with Michelle. He said, "I don't want to live with my other mum and dad anymore. Can I live with you?" And Michelle liked the idea of her actual son coming in. In February 2008, Ryan moved in with Liam and Maria because he was fed up with Alex living with him and his mum. But later on, he returned to Michelle's house after Alex left, which is basically when Michelle realised that things couldn't stay like this forever, and she arranged for his other mum to take him back. My head's hurting a bit. This is a bit confusing.
It's just basically all it means is that he's not really Michelle's son. He was raised as his son, but all this stuff about, when you had me, when you gave birth to me, blah 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 blah. They totally forgotten all of that. They're not bringing any of it up. When you're a sort of idiot kid like Ryan is, the first thing you would think of to say is, "You're not my real mum."
Yeah, but they seem to have forgotten it. It's pretty good that they've forgotten it, because it was a totally storyline for dramatic effect. It was really stupid.
It was very dramatic at the time, but it's one of those things that just overly complicates relationships, and they don't bother following up with it, as we've seen.
Yeah. And then since then, there's not been much on the Ryan front. In October 2008, that was when Liam was killed at Tony's stag do. And Ryan had the news broken to him. In 2009, he began a relationship with Sian. This is before she started to... She realised she was a lesbian.
Yeah.
Sian's dad sent her to Stockport to live with her mum. And when she comes back, she ends the relationship after Ryan had been sort of caught kissing Sophie, because he thought that Sophie was interested in him again before...
Because he's such a catch, because he's got helmet hair.
Yeah, he really draws the lesbians in.
Yeah.
Go on.
So he left in 2010 to go to Glasgow to university and spent some time there with
Kieran. Yeah.
And then he came back in 2012.
Different actor.
As a totally new person, because university changes you.
Yeah, and he was a bad lad again.
Yeah, he's been kicked out of university. He set fire to the curtain at number 13 with a cigarette. He doesn't smoke now. No. So what's happened to that, I don't know, because you can't just stop smoking. He fakes a fall at the factory. That was quite hilarious.
Yeah,
he sort of like threw himself all over the place and said, "Oh, I'm suing you. I'm sorry, I can't. I've got a bad back." Yeah. I can't work anymore.
And then there was the whole drug storyline that seems to have also pretty much stopped.
He's quite, you have to admit, the lad is good at stopping bad habits.
Tracy's a bad habit and you can't stop that.
Well, who knows what will happen in the future, but he, yeah, so that's Ryan.
Yeah, I find his character very boring. He's a bit of a prat.
He has got no charisma.
No.
And he's a little git.
Yeah. I hope he's not in it for long.
Really, all this
or
stuff.
Or maybe he'll change, I don't know.
He came back being horrible and manipulative, but the tables have been completely turned on him because he didn't see Tracy coming at all.
Mm.
And she's just wrapping him around her little finger. It'd be nice if he discovers what Tracy's been up to and then turns his manipulation powers on her.
Mm. To me, he's just been somebody who's been recast with a hunky young actor who looks older than he should be, like Tommy. And doesn't really offer anything.
Is he supposed to be the same age as Sophie?
Oh, I think so.
Because they do not look like they were. No, the same age.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's Ryan.
That's what we think of Ryan.
Yeah. I'm sure the actor's lovely, but.
Yeah, the actor's lovely. So, I'm sorry I took the mick out of your name. Sure, it's short for something like really amazing, like Solomon or something.
It might be. Let's
move on.
Let's move on to some news. Okay, so the cabin, we've got a few little bits of news about some ex-cast members this week. Craig Gazey, who played Graham Proctor, awesome character, is going to be starring in the world stage premiere of The Full Monty, playing the character that Steve Hewson, who played Eddie Windass in Corrie, played in the film.
Yes.
So it's a very Corrie-centric character, it seems.
Yeah, it starts at the Bristol Hippodrome in March, so if you would like to see
Craig Gazey naked.
Well, just get your tickets now because they'll probably be sold out.
Also, the guy who plays Jack Meadows in The Bill is also going to be in there.
Now, but if only The Bill was still going, we could have done a podcast about The Bill as well.
I couldn't really follow that.
No.
Too complicated.
Next piece of news, Charlie Condu, plays Marcus Dent on Coronation Street, has been voted Man of the Year 2012 in the Attitude Magazine Awards.
Hmm.
Good for him.
What for?
For consistently speaking out in both Guardian and London's Evening Standard about the reality of modern families, i.e. same-sex parenting.
Yeah, so he's been tweeting a lot about saying sort of in modern days that a family is very, very different from the usual sort of 2.4 children.
It must be a bit more to what he's been up to than that, but
yeah, but he's obviously good for him.
Very progressive and not afraid to speak out.
No.
It's fine.
And Charles Lawson, who played Jim McDonald, is going to be guest starring in a rival soap. But don't worry, it's not EastEnders. It is BBC daytime soap, Doctors.
Well,
no, you may not have heard of it.
We're not doing a podcast on Doctors.
I've never seen Doctors, and I've got no intention of, even if Charles Lawson is in it. But his guest stint is going to be on November the 30th. For anyone in the UK that fancies seeing what he's up to now.
Yeah. And then
Sammy Gardy, who is Maria, is possibly going to be doing Dancing on Ice. Is the other? And I haven't heard anything other
whenever
than that.
Whenever anyone does Dancing on Ice, the only story you ever hear about women in that show is, oh, look how much weight she's lost from doing all this dancing. She was already fat or skinny to start with, but now she's less fat or even skinnier.
Yeah.
That's all they ever say in the papers about it. I've never watched it either.
No. So, that's the news this week. Not much, maybe there'll be a bit more next week. Let's get on to the feedback section.
We've got loads of feedback.
Yeah, as we said at the beginning, we got email, we got some more comments, we got some Facebook comments for the first time. So thank you very much, everyone. We'll start off with a snippet of an email from Tibor, our regular contributor. She said,
she's talking about Tracy's obsession with Steve, and she says, don't you think that Steve needs to take some responsibility? I have noticed he's often given Tracy mixed signals, telling to her when things go bad with the woman he really wants, and it gives Tracy renewed hope. He knows how she feels, yet he's used her emotions to keep close to Amy. He's had another one-night stand when he fell out with Becky. He sat by her side in hospital when they thought her kidney was going to pack it in and let her think they had a future. What does he expect when she keeps trying to get him to love her? I don't feel sorry for Tracy, but I do understand why she can't let it go. It's not entirely her fault.
It is true, but I think with Steve, he's just been manipulated so much by Tracy, and if he was played, if he was going by the book all the way, then Tracy would just walk right all over him.
I think you have to treat Tracy like she is a character in a soap. Like, if she was a real person, you would never take her seriously, ever.
No.
It's like she doesn't have real feelings.
No.
But she obviously still obsessed with him, but only because she can't have him. But yeah, he's always given her little tiny nuggets of hope, just enough to keep her going, just a little crumb every now and then, just to keep her coming back for more hot Steve loving.
Tibor has also said, it's soap law that villains always must pay. This is about what we said last week, yeah, when we didn't know what was going to happen with Tracy in the future. They'll either go to jail permanently or die somehow. Tracy may have got off her sentence, but she did spend a few years behind bars. You can't erase that as easily as the conviction was overturned.
Yeah, I agree. I think she has. She's paid her due for that. So what she's going to do in the future, I don't know. But I don't think she's done anything worthy of being destroyed as far as villains go. She's not the sort of, she's not the same character like Mad Maya, who sort of comes in to wreck things and then gets dispatched fairly quickly.
No.
Yeah, so
storylines with Tracy are usually fairly interesting.
They're comical, really, aren't they?
Yeah. We've had a comment on the blog from somebody new called Barbie. They've said, I agree with Tibor and Jason as well. This is Jason, who we had a comment from last week. Ken is so utterly predictable. It would be lovely this time if he didn't have another affair, but Deirdre will be livid whether he does or not. He's been doing some brilliant prevaricating. Good word. On the bi issue, didn't Michelle date some gorgeous rich guy who ended getting it on with Sean, or someone Sean knew? I've never been a huge Michelle fan, except when she's trashing Tracy, so it's all a bit hazy. Yeah, that was Sunny that we talked about in the character profile.
He was a millionaire,
earlier.
So.
Yeah, thank you for your comment.
He was a good catch, whether you're a man or a woman.
Thank you for your comment there, Barbie.
Yeah, so that is a good point, because we were saying that is Marcus going to be the first bi?
Is he going to be bisexual, or is he going to change his mind? And that's not been in it this week, has he? That'll be back soon, I expect. I put a comment on Facebook because I had been neglecting our Facebook page a little bit, just asking for some comments. And we got a couple this week. Tracy Lansky, who we've had a couple of comments on before, has said, you can mention that you have dedicated listeners from Canada if you like. I love the podcast.
Oh, thank you,
Tracy.
Thank
you very much. And to all our Canadian listeners.
Yeah.
And Karen Knox has got a first comment. I love the podcast. It's an excellent place for Canadian spoilers, as we're about 2 weeks behind the UK broadcasts. I'd love to hear a character profile on you two. We know you are a couple, that Gemma's not been watching as long as Michael, and that he's a teacher, but that's it. Tell us a little more about yourselves. Keep up the podcasts. They are so much fun. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you for listening.
That's a very nice comment, Karen. Thank you. Right, what facts shall we reveal about ourselves?
Oh, goodness. Well, we're married.
Yeah, we've been married for 2 years.
Yeah, so if you're listening to the podcast in the hopes of catching one of us for yourselves, I'm sorry, but we're already taken. Yeah, so we've been together, well, yesterday it was our 11th
anniversary
of when we first started going out with each other, which probably means that's how long I've been watching Coronation Street.
Yeah, because you didn't watch it at all before me.
No.
And I kind of made you watch it.
Forced is the word you're looking for. So yeah, because I used to watch EastEnders and then stopped watching. Well, I used to watch Neighbours as well.
Yeah, you watched a few of the soaps when you were little, didn't you? But never Corrie.
So that's why I started watching Coronation Street. But you started watching it because of your great aunt.
No, my mum and dad used to watch Coronation Street back in the mid-90s, and it used to be on in the background, and I just remember sort of gradually being more and more drawn into it. And some of the earlier storylines I remember was Deirdre marrying Samir, Tracy's kidney problems. I've read kind of books about what happened in that time period, and I remember some of the storylines, some of them I don't. And then over the years from then, I started watching it more regularly, and now I can't miss an episode.
I guess that doesn't really answer the question, which is more about ourselves.
Well, what's your job, Gemma?
I am the editor of a magazine.
Mm.
Yeah, and I've just come off deadline today.
Yeah.
So I'm blimmin' tired. So if I've spent the whole time sounding unenthusiastic, it's because I was up till 2 o'clock last night trying to get the magazine finished and then had to get up early again today. Oh, you better stop me because I could rant all day about this. Yeah, so off deadline today. So I should be fresh as a daisy next week, but unfortunately, we have an event that we have to go to.
Yeah, So we're not going to be at home on Friday, Saturday or Sunday.
Don't rob us.
Yeah, you don't.
My mum's
we're not
going to
tell
here.
You where we live. Although it's a bit of a trek from Canada.
Yeah, it is slightly. It's not worth the trip.
What we'll probably do for the podcast is just do a shorter episode after Wednesday's episode of Corrie. So just talking about Monday and Wednesday's episodes. And then we'll do a bit of a longer one.
Or maybe two shorter ones.
The next week, but we haven't decided.
Yeah, so we've got an event we've got to go to for my work next weekend. And then you're on half term.
Yes.
Because, as you know, Michael is a teacher.
And teachers just have so much holiday.
Oh, yeah, no. So so maybe we'll do two next week.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. But just keep an eye on our RSS feed.
Yeah, so we're still alive. We're just busy doing boring other stuff.
So we better call it a day. It's been a long episode, this one.
But if you want to send us an email, you can email us at conversationstreet@gmail.com or visit our website at conversationstreet.podbean.com.
Yeah, leave us a comment there, or you can find us on iTunes, leave us a review.
If you leave us a review, can you tell us? Because we don't know unless we go through every country.
Yeah.
Although it's mostly Canada. we won't know.
Yeah, you can be our 41st Twitter follower if you add us.
Act now.
Yeah,
special offer.
That's the highly sought after 41st follower. Yeah. We're at hashtag Conversation Street.
Stur.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
It's Stur.
Oh, man.
Not hashtag.
I still haven't got the hang of this. At Conversation Stur.
You sound like an old man.
This Tweety Twitter thing. But I'm actually getting more. I never used to like Twitter, but since I'm starting the podcast, I've been tweeting away. It's quite good. And we're on Facebook as well.
So funny.
And I'm going to try and interact a bit more with Facebook because. I had been ignoring that for a bit, so we'll try and get some more comments and things on there.
And don't forget, guys, we've still got this DVD to give away.
Yeah, if you would like our Coronation Street Romanian holiday DVD.
It's got Becky in it. Becky's one of the best characters.
Yeah.
It's not very good.
It's not that good. But you might want
to. If you miss Roy and Hayley, because they haven't been in it, Roy, Hayley and Becky all appear in this DVD.
Yeah. So just ask us for it and we'll send it
to
you.
We'll send it to you.
Just the UK?
Anywhere.
Oh, all right,
we'll send it anywhere. You just got to be able to watch it, though. Don't forget that it's a UK DVD.
There we go.
We don't do refunds. We're not going to put the return address on it.
Right. Okay, so that's it for this week. See you next week for our slightly earlier episode.
Bye.
The music for this podcast came from podcastthemes.com.